Yeah, as Cheryl prayed, the events on the news last night were quite traumatizing, quite scary and awful and tragic. And what is happening in our nation, continued polarization, division, there's just no question that the devil is making progress, is seeing his work done. But we are people of peace. We are called to be peacemakers who serve the Prince of Peace. And it is so important that we all remember that in all that we do, all our relationships, all our efforts to reach out and care for others. So for God's word this morning now, we will turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 17. Let's hear now the word of the Lord. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, this may seem like a strange text to meditate on right after our youth group trip, and a striking text to ponder so soon after Synod. But nothing is more important right now than that we remember the way of Jesus, the way he leads us and calls us to follow, the way he wants us to be great and to exercise our power. Because the world's got its path to greatness and glory, but then Jesus has his, and his should rock our worlds to the core. It should turn our wants and ambitions upside down. From getting to giving, from ruling to serving, from lording it over to serving under. The way to the top in his kingdom is to serve those on the bottom. His disciples, however, and their parents apparently, weren't yet getting that so well. Three times he predicted his suffering service, his death, and yet all they could set their sights on was the crown, but not the cross. As they're on their way up to Jerusalem here, they get down on each other, arguing over who is the greatest among them and who deserves the best spots in the new Jesus administration, in the Messiah's kingdom that is yet to come. "Look, guys, we're clearly his favorites," thought Peter, James, and John. "He took us up to the mountaintop, while the rest of you blokes had to stay down here and failed to drive that demon out." But then no doubt Andrew piped up and said, "Hang on, I was the first to follow Jesus." And Levi said, "And I bankrolled his mission the most." And Judas said, "Ah, but he trusts me with the power of the purse." And we know it's silly, but that's easy for us to say when we weren't there in that group. Would we have done much better, or would we have come to blows even sooner? I mean, the second we see people, we still have that need to size them up, to figure out where we stand on their social ladders, in their hierarchies and scales. There's always a ranking, always a pecking order in life. What goes into your decisions when you decide who to connect with on sites like Facebook or Instagram? Or how about on professional networks, on sites like LinkedIn? Or maybe you fought the online trend, but the question is the same. What company do you keep? Who do you welcome? Who are you willing to call friend? Are you open to everyone? Or do some politics actually come into it? When you find yourself in a group, who do you gravitate to? Try just observing yourself for a moment. Do you drift toward cool people with influence or to the quiet people who seem less important? Are we actually looking to serve others or just ourselves with the relationships that we invest in? It's so easy to turn service into serve us and our egos. So let's not be too hard on Mama Zebedee here or on James and John, her sons of thunder. We know their dad wasn't the thunder because they left him sitting in the boat. No, it's their mom who goes to bat for them here, their mom who's followed them and Jesus and who dares to ask him for what her sons want the most. Grant that they might have the best seats in your new government, Jesus, the best roles. My James, he's just the greatest at law and order and at justice, Lord. And my John, he's a brilliant writer. He'll make a brilliant administrator, I think. You can trust my boys. They've got the strength. They've got the courage. They've got the wisdom to do it, Lord. I've raised them right. They'll do what it takes to rule. But again, let's not be too hard on Mama Zebedee. She only wants, after all, what is best for her children. Plus, she's right about what that is, to reign with Jesus. That is the best, the highest honor. But what this helicopter mom here doesn't realize yet is that Jesus' way of reigning isn't the way up to power and glory, but the way straight to the bottom in this world. The top dogs in his kingdom do the unsung service, the thankless jobs, the dirty work. You want him to be great like me? Then teach him to scrub dishes when nobody's looking, Jesus replies. Teach him to wait on tables, because that's what his word for ministry, for service here, actually means. You want him to be first, then teach him to eat humble pie and to serve like slaves, even when those they love stomp on them for it. Because that's what it takes to give their lives more and more. This is the way to greatness, to power. The world's got it backwards, Jesus tells them. With all its selfish Caesars, its scheming pharaohs, its ruthless rulers. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You want to be first, then go and do likewise, until it hurts. And yet, as Christians, we've failed so often throughout our history. We're tempted to still lord it over others rather than serve. We've tried to force people to accept our ways, to accept our cultures, to accept our rule. From rationalizing the Crusades to justifying slavery, to making up whole doctrines of discovery so we could steal the land and even the homes of other peoples. We've gotten the gospel confused with cultural imperialism, forced assimilation, and boarding schools. The folks in Rehoboth were honest about that past, how with good intentions and bad, the first settlers there had lorded over the natives. How many of the first missionaries had thought the gospel was as simple as this: kill the Indian, save the human. But now we're coming to see the harm that that did and working to restore the God-honoring beauty of their culture, yet too. And that takes a posture of service, of giving up our need for control. That takes letting go of some of our values of efficiency and productivity. That takes valuing people more than just our tools or our toys. That takes letting go of our habit of talking over each other and interrupting each other to show how much we know to everyone else. Maybe it takes what Jesus said too, to become more like little children. Because see, back in Matthew 18, the disciples had already asked Jesus, point blank, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he'd answered by calling a little child over, placing that rug rat there among them, and saying, whoever welcomes this child welcomes me, you know. Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest among you. But that must have seemed ridiculous to them, as ridiculous as leading scuba VBS in the middle of New Mexico. I mean, who chose a deep sea theme for the desert anyway? Well, it was those churches who we served. And maybe it was absurd, but our youth group dove in, even though there was no doubt that we were all in way over our heads there. But that's where we experienced the most joy, wasn't it? When we helped, when we served. When did I see you at your greatest, TNG? When you were serving. When you were humbly serving, giving your time and your attention to those kids. That's when the greatness of Jesus, your master, shone through. They say a picture is worth a thousand words, so just look. This is what Jesus looked like on earth. He didn't rush past people that he barely noticed, but he tuned into each and every person. He showed us that love takes time, and love makes space for all sorts. Where did we see Jesus on this trip? Well, most especially in the children that we got to know, that we got to serve for a little while. The world may look at them as poor, but they were rich, and they shared with us a joy that we never could have found on just our iPhones. My favorite pics from the trips are actually these, because see, there was this one time when three kids came crashing into the bucket there, and one of them fell over, but the other two stopped and waited for him to get up rather than seizing their chance to get ahead. And I was like, that's what it means to be a friend, to be a servant. I only permitted myself to watch Synod between midnight and 1 a.m. on a few nights there in New Mexico. But the contrast, it just couldn't have been greater, you know. In New Mexico, our CRCs were there serving each other in self-giving ways. But is that what's happening here in Synod and here in the meetings here too? So sad when the church loses sight of our Lord's kind of rule, the way that he lords it over. Where did we see Jesus most powerfully in this trip? Well, it was in the people that we partnered with, the faithful, persevering saints. The elderly servants there in those churches. You see, Jesus was there making us fry bread, soups and salads, and desserts. They were Christ to us there, showing us how to serve, how to listen, and how to love, if we'd noticed. How to take care, better care of each other too. And that's where we saw Jesus there too. In one another, when we stopped trying to steer things to just our own wants and goals, but when we looked out for the interests of each other, we considered the whole group. Jesus' love is self-emptying, it serves, and Jesus was there on that last night too, calming the storm in more ways than one, and helping us to listen and to know that we were heard. Friends, I don't see why this can't translate here more to our neighborhood efforts here too, as a church. If we can partner with two churches to lead Vacation Bible School all the way over in New Mexico, then why can't we partner to offer it here also, in our King Park neighborhood? What's getting in our way? Is it our overthinking, our overplanning? Is it our fear of failure, our pecking orders? What if we let a neighbor church actually lead us and we took a service-first approach? We did it with the Navajo. We worked with them and not just for them. We let them determine our plans and our schedules. And that was hard, but the fruit of that was obvious. The Lord will bless that kind of service. TNG Group, I have no doubt that you are going back. But how can you take what you've just learned and apply it now to your daily lives more? God calls us to serve like that in our churches, our neighborhoods, and our schools. Every parent wants their child to be great, to be successful. But what does that mean here in Jesus' books? A life of service to the last, the least, to the poor. It's easy to get confused by the patterns of this world, but God wants disciples more than he wants diplomas. He wants followers more than he wants leaders. He wants his children transformed into humble servants, not lords. Did you know that Mama Zebedee's name was actually Salome? Salome? Yes, she was Mary's cousin and Jesus' aunt. And did you know that she was there at his death too, and among the first women at the empty tomb? She took his correction well here, don't you think? She followed on, as did both of her sons, and they learned to drink from his cup of suffering for and with others. They gave their lives as first witnesses and martyrs of the early church. And so must we. We must serve on, friends, when life gets tough and when people judge us unfairly. We must serve on when people question our motives or refuse to see God's hand at work. And we've got to answer the same question Jesus asked Salome there. What is it that you want? A life of comfort, of glory, of power, of lording it over others in this world? Or a life that pours itself out, trusting that God is going to raise you. Let's go to him now in a word of prayer. Jesus, fill us. Fill us with your love so that we can serve others like you. Turn us from the love of power to the power of love more and more. Help us do more to serve the poor and to look for you in all of those who are overlooked or unnoticed. And when our love runs out, fill us with yours, Lord. Fill us with your love more and more. In Jesus' name we ask this, and for the sake of your kingdom, and all God's people say together, amen.